بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: سيد الشهور شهر رمضان، وكما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Alhamdulillah, it is the first of Sha'ban. We should read the dua: Allahu Akbar, Hilal, Khairin, Rushd. Allahumma ahillahu alayna bil yumni wal iman. As-salamati wal islam wa tawfiq lima tuhibbu wa tarada, Rabbi wa Rabbuka Allah. Allah Ta'ala has made it such that our calendar runs on the phases of the moon. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِّ. They ask you about the hilals, the crescents of the moon. So Allah Ta'ala says that this is the timing for men and for Hajj. This is how time is told, when the month of Hajj is coming, when the month of Ramadan is coming, the Islamic calendar, the coming of the month, the ending of a month, how it works. This is through the hilal and the crescent. The phase subhanahu wa ta'ala's prerogative that Allah Ta'ala wanted the Islamic calendar to run by the moon. And we find there's so much of hikmat. If it had to run by the sun, for example, then if you are in a certain country and Ramadan was in summer, then every year you'll fast in summer, long hours, hot days. And if you're in a country which is cold, every year, maybe shorter days and cold days. So then people would say it's unfair. So Allah Ta'ala, through His infinite wisdom, made it such that there's a lunar calendar. So all seasons. So in winter, O Allah, I fast for You. I'm obedient to You. In summer also, O Allah, the same Allah, I fast for my Allah, whether it is 14 hours, 12 hours, 16 hours, 18 hours. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that it will change. Sometimes be a little bit shorter, sometimes be a few hours longer. The barakat of the lunar calendar. Then we must understand that through the lunar calendar, we cannot use and just rely upon scientific calculations. That now they say that the moon will be seen, so it will be seen. So we take it like that. Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali mentions in the Behesht-e Zewar that we should not rely, the Hindus use the word Dooj. They say no, they say Dooj, then they will see the moon. So we don't rely on that. Rumors, superstition. Allah Ta'ala has given us a deen where there is complete system. And we thank Allah Ta'ala that He gave us such ulama, such people in our country that have upheld the system and have made sure that there's such a rigid system that Allah Ta'ala keep it running like that. And alhamdulillah, we can have confidence that when we told the moon was sighted, the moon was sighted. Or if it was not sighted, it was not sighted. Because it's not just on calculations. There are people going out in every area and physically looking for the moon and then reporting. And then there's a whole system in place. There's a form that is filled out. And sometimes shahada is taken from the imam of the locality or the alim in the locality when there's a need and a necessity for that. So we should remember that we will fast sumu li ru'yatihi. Fast on account of seeing the moon. وَأَفْتِرُوا لِرُؤْيَتِهِ. And then break your fast when you see the moon. In Muslim Sharif there is a chapter, أَنَّ لِكُلِّ أَهْلِ بَلَدٍ رُؤْيَتَهُمْ. That people of every area, every country have their own sighting. In the time of Sahaba, it was like that. When you saw the moon, oh no, we saw it on that day. It was accepted, Muslim Sharif. It was accepted. We started on this day, you all started on that day. It wasn't an issue. There was no like fighting, there was no debating, there was no claim that no, everybody should be on one day. Right? Now, I'm just opening this topic because the other day someone asked me this thing. Someone asked me, it's an interesting topic. There are many people that follow Saudi. They made it a point now to follow Saudi. And through the last few years, too many people came, want to know about it. So Allah Ta'ala gave us one sun for the earth. Allah gave us one moon. But everybody accepts that when it's sunset here in Palok, in Durban, then we'll read Maghrib. Right? Sun is Allah's creation, moon is Allah's creation. The sun is also setting in Saudi at a different time. Why we don't follow the Saudi sunset? Same thing. Why we don't follow the Saudi sunrise? So there, when it's daily, you don't want to follow it. So the moon also, phases of the moon, you must also follow in your area. You're looking at the sunset, you're following that. So look at the, your moon, when it rose, when you saw the crescent of the moon, and follow that. So it's such a simple, logical explanation for this. Quran said, as we explained, he asked me about the crescents of the moon. The second explanation also is that 200-300 years ago, this communication, fast communication was not prevalent. Before satellite, before telecommunications, before internet, 1200 years, just work on 1200 years. For 1200 years, the Ummah relied upon each area looking for the moon. It was like that from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Islam spread far and wide. 1200 years, Sahaba went to China, other countries, they buried. So they all relied on that. After 1200 years, we're saying, I'm talking the argument now, that no, 1200 years, what was done was wrong. Only now with the advent of this communication, satellite and all that, then now only we learned how to do things the right way. So it doesn't make sense also. And then thirdly, our ulama have mentioned time and again about the discrepancies on the sighting of the moon in Saudi. Discrepancies. Right, I don't know the details. I'm just giving you hearsay, but senior ulama, like Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab, others, who have knowledge of this, have mentioned clearly that there's major discrepancies when the moon is just, sometimes just a few hours old, and they're saying they sighted the moon. It's very hard to believe, to understand. So nevertheless, that is also one issue. And this matter has been discussed, rest assured, by the ulama at length on many, many occasions about taking this sighting and that sighting and cross-border sighting and all that. And every time, from the time of Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, from his time, Mashuras was held. Now too recently, Mashura, not so long ago, was held. And every time they said that the safest option is to remain within the borders of your country, to avoid all controversy and just to take the old system of how it has been done from the old days, Cape Town, Johannesburg, Port Elizabeth, Durban and all the other cities, that system that was in place, just to rely on that system and to move with that. Alhamdulillah. Nevertheless, this is just a brief mention of these aspects. Alhamdulillah, the Jamiatul Ulama is they normally run a Hilal program, a 2-hour program, sometimes more than that, where they go into quite some detail explaining the different issues, the minor, major issues, and the nitty-gritties of how this whole process is done. And it's quite intricate also. One person asked me, he had a different view. He said, no, Mawlana, see, the whole year we look for the moon, right? Only in Zulhijjah we're going to follow Saudi because, I mean, Hajj is there. He said, Hajj is there. Arafah is there. How you can say day of Arafah when it's Eid there? Alright? So he said, the whole year we'll follow our sighting, but only for the Zulhijjah. So I said, my brother, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the month is 29 days or 30 days. Correct? He said, yes. Then when he saw the argument, very quickly he wrapped up, He started a discussion and he closed the topic. So I told him, if you're going to go on that, what if our Zulqadah was 28 days on our sighting, 28 days, and you're saying they started with Zulhijjah in Saudi. What's going to happen to our month on this side? It's not going to be 29. So now he didn't have an answer. He just wrapped up the topic. He put it away. Alright. So remember, Alhamdulillah, all these issues have been discussed by our ulama. Maulana Thanvi explains, and just for our understanding, some important issues about the sighting of the moon. He says, if it's a cloudy sky, it's cloudy or dusty, you can't see the moon clearly, then for the sighting of the Ramadan moon, that Ramadan started, you just need one pious person, male or female, to say that we saw the moon, and the sighting would be accepted. And if it's the Eid moon, then you will need a proper shahada of two men, pious upright men, Muslim men, or one man and two women. That's if the sky is cloudy. And if it is clear skies, if it is clear skies, then you need Jami Ghafir. Jami Ghafir means a large number of people that your heart is at ease that they can't be lying. All these people, so many hundreds of people are saying they saw the moon, then they can't be lying. That is just the basics. Basically, much more details. That's just the basic understanding of how the sighting is generally accepted or not accepted. For us, our purposes, Alhamdulillah, we rely on our ulama organizations. Once we get the announcement from them, then we go with that. We can rest assured that they have done all the checks and balances, and Alhamdulillah, we can with confidence can fast in Ramadan, or with confidence we can have our Eid, inshallah. So going forward, inshallah, from now, it's the first of Sha'ban, we'll be looking at fasting. Alhamdulillah, the virtues of fasting we have heard at length, and we will still hear, inshallah, the many, many virtues of fasting. Allah Ta'ala says, As-sawmu li, fasting is for me. Fasting is for me. Wa ana ajzi bihi, and I myself will give the reward. And according to one reading, Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullahi mentions, wa ana ujza bihi, and I am the reward for it. Fasting is for me, I am the reward. Maulana Thanvi says, there will be some people that will be eating under the arsh of Allah when everybody will be giving account of their deeds. People will ask, who are these special guests of Allah eating under Allah's arsh? We have to suffer here and give account. And then it will be said that these are the people that fasted for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi explains why fasting is so special. What amazing, amazing rewards are mentioned. So he says, because there's so much of ikhlas in fasting. He says, every act of worship, a person is going for hajj, everybody has to come to know. He's going for hajj. A person is reading salah, everyone can see he's reading salah. So many, many acts of worship, people observe that act of worship. But fasting, nobody knows what's happening in his stomach, in his mind, in his heart, how he's feeling. He's feeling feverish, he got a headache, his stomach is empty, he's hungry. Nobody is seeing. So if he's doing an act of ibadat for showing off, it can never be the act of fasting. That's not an act he will do for showing off. So that's the one thing. And he said the second thing is that there is nothing better in defeating shaitan than an empty stomach. So shaitan runs in the blood of man. Just like blood runs in his veins, shaitan runs in his body. But the moment he starves himself, he cuts off that avenue of shaitan. Shaitan can't get to his nafs. And that's how he is able to overpower his desires and overpower shaitan. They say there are three types of fast. See, one fast is a person stays away from food, drink, and sexual intercourse. That's one fast. But he doesn't fast from sin. The second fast is a person fasts and he also stays away from outward sin. They say the best fast is when a person fasts, he holds his limbs away from sin and he also protects his mind and his heart. He protects his mind and his heart. And in this day and age, to make sure that we get this 100%, then a person needs to cut off from social media, because somewhere one video will come, one pop-up will come, something will come, a stupid comment, or someone will put one joke, or something, and it will make our mind go in a wrong direction, and we can't allow that in the month of Ramadan. So a person to be focused, our ulama say, from now we should learn to protect our time. Time management. So that in Ramadan we get it right also. If a person doesn't know how to manage his time, for example, Asr to Maghrib, like in our masjid, we've got about an hour from the time the Asr Jamaat starts, Asr to Maghrib. That's a good time after the Fajr Salah. From now, get our time management right. We don't have lunch in Ramadan, so that lunch time now, we make up our mind. That time, I'm giving it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That 10-15 minutes, that will be in my tilawat of my Quran. Now, from now, we try, I can be in a masjid at Adhan time. So I'll get 10 minutes to make tilawat, or few minutes to make some tilawat, or some zikr. So now I set a schedule, and I get used to it. I'm doing it for 3-4 weeks, and I get comfortable with it. So now when Ramadan will come, this is what the ulama mean when they say preparation. They say prepare. Someone will say, Maulana, what you mean? So number one, time management. Get a schedule. Schedule, time yourself. Then secondly is protecting your eyes, protecting your mind. And تَحْفَظَ الرَّأْسَ وَمَا وَعَى وَالْبَطْنَ وَمَا حَوَى. Protecting the consumption, what foods you're eating. Eat good, healthy, halal, wholesome foods. And also the ulama say, limit our food intake from Sha'ban now. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to fast almost the whole month of Sha'ban. Ulama say, a person was to fast, he can fast the first 2 weeks of Sha'ban, but the second 2 weeks, he must gain his strength for Ramadan. So if a person can fast, he must fast. Otherwise, limit ourselves, because we, all of us, we got this habit. We see an ice cream, you take the ice cream. You see a lollipop, eat the lollipop. We see some snacks, we're having the snacks. A chocolate is lying somewhere, we're having that also. And then every 1-2 hours, coffee, tea, biscuits. So now when a person is used to eating so regularly, he's going to find the fast very difficult. So the ulama say, 3 meals. Try it from Sha'ban. If I can eat a nice breakfast, eat my lunch on its time, eat my supper on its time, and don't eat in between, because he's training his nafs. So then Ramadan will become very easy, because now he's doing the next level now. Now he's just skipping lunch, sort of the next level. Because one of the major concerns of many people in Mulana, days are getting longer, hotter, and how are we going to manage? Allah will make us manage, but we do some training, inshallah. If not every day, some of the days, try it. 1-2 days, try and fast. Normally the 13th, 14th, 15th of Sha'ban, we fasting. But before that too, try. Take 1-2 days, try and fast. So then when a person mentally is prepared, I did it, I can do it. He's prepared himself. I woke up for my sehri, had my sehri, I did it. Alhamdulillah, training is happening. Then he feels also confident. So to protect our time, to protect our organs from sin, and to protect ourselves, not to go onto sites and social media and wasting time. So from now, a person should put some system into his life. Then there are many, many etiquettes, sunnats, adab. We will just start with a few and conclude. So it's mentioned here, the pious predecessors would prepare 6 months in advance for Ramadan. They would start with the dua in Rajab, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. And also the other dua, Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan. We can start reading that dua now also. Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan, wa sallim Ramadan lana, wa sallimhu lana mutaqabbala. See, we all want to be healthy. Who wants to get sick in Ramadan? We all want to be healthy. Allahumma save us from hospitals, save us from getting sick, falling ill. Keep us healthy. So we make that dua. Allah, keep me well, keep me healthy, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically also. Can read my Taraweeh Salah nicely, can fast nicely. So that dua is a very effective dua. Then make a timetable. Set some time for engaging in ibadat. Have a target. I want to read so many juz of the Quran. Be realistic. And then work towards it. They say, first plan your work, and then work your plan. I like that saying. Plan your work, and then work your plan. Whoever fails to plan, has a plan to fail. Whoever fails to plan has a plan to fail. Or he has planned to fail. So don't waste valuable time in Ramadan. I mentioned in the Khanqa of Shah Abdul Rahim Raipuri, on the 29th of Shaban, Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria says, I never saw any place where people, get so hyped up for Ramadan, and people are making mulaqat before Ramadan, that I'll see you now on Eid Day. Assalamu alaikum. I'll see you on Eid Day. He said once he wrote to Shah Abdul Rahim Raipuri Rahmatullahi, and he felt so bad, because he wrote the letter back a little bit sternly, and Hazrat said, you know, because you have written this letter, I was forced to reply to you in Ramadan. To show that it was so painful for him to take out that time now, to engage in this work of replying to his letter in the month of Ramadan. And then Hazrat Sheikh himself, Rahmatullahi, someone came to visit him in Ramadan, and everyone he met, even he met Mufti Mahmood Sahib, this visitor, he said, you don't know it's Ramadan by Hazrat Sheikh. You don't know. So someone told him, alright, wait for him after Zohar, maybe when he's going back to his room, you'll get a chance to meet him. He said, I'm waiting and waiting and waiting, and he's reading Salah. And Hazrat Sheikh had this habit of reading a lot of Quran. So he went for a stroll. By the time he went for the stroll and came back, Hazrat Sheikh already went to his room. So he went outside the room and he said, Hazrat, I'm going now, Salaamu Alaikum. You know, Ramadan comes to everybody, but here it comes like a fever. It comes like a sickness, like an illness. You're just in the masjid or you're in your room all the time. So they say these people value their time. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. There are these few things we can start making amal upon.